WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Friday's always a good day to have a conversation about travel and get out of town news. Brian Summers, aviation business editor for skiff.com, one of our regular Friday characters here on the Opening Bell. Lots to talk about this morning, including the impact on air travel from the hurricanes, an update on bag fees, the bag fee story as well. Brian is with us from Los Angeles via Skype this morning. Brian, let's start with the hurricane. What do we expect will be the impact, both the long-term and short-term, I guess, from Hurricane Florence?
Yeah, it is a big deal. This hurricane is going to affect airline travel, especially on the East Coast, although there can be a knock-on effect elsewhere. The good news is that airlines have a lot of experience with this. We've seen a lot of big storms over the last several years. Many airlines have been proactively canceling the flights, which can become a bit of a pain because some of those flights probably could have been run anyways, but airlines would rather be safe than sorry. And just about every major airline has issued what we call travel waivers. So if you were going to this area and you're fearful that your flight would be canceled, you can change your flight usually for no fee, maybe go through another airport if you're connecting, or just postpone the trip to 3 or 6 months in advance. If you must travel to this area, you probably should be patient. Hurricanes are, of course, big deals, but I think everybody who travels often knows that it doesn't just take a hurricane to affect an airline's operations. You'll often see delays or cancellations in just a typical thunderstorm. So even if you're going to an area that isn't necessarily in the eye of the hurricane, there might be storms associated with the hurricane, and your flights may be delayed and canceled.
Yeah, we're kind of familiar with this here in the Midwest with thunderstorms and snowstorms. It sometimes, in the worst case scenarios, can take a couple of days to get back to normal after something like that. Would it be longer for following a hurricane?
It's hard to know exactly, but my advice to people is just to remain patient. I follow airlines pretty closely. I tend to think that they're generally well-run. They try their best to get people where they're going. But recovering from these storms is very difficult. It can take several days. I would recommend if people don't have to be in that area, they shouldn't go. And also, there are a couple of connecting hubs in the area, the biggest one being American's Hub in Charlotte. And so if you're flying American and you have a connection through Charlotte, the best thing to do is call the airline and say, you know what, I want to fly nonstop from Chicago if the airline flies it, or maybe I want to go through Dallas. Just try to stay away from connecting in Charlotte. And even Atlanta is relatively close to the hurricane. I don't know how much it'll be affected, but maybe avoid Atlanta as well.
The past couple of weeks, we've talked about bag fees going up, first on JetBlue, then on United. Is there an update on this story this week?
Well, it's funny you ask, Steve. Last week on this program, I don't know how many people listen week in and week out, but I predicted that American and Delta would follow United and JetBlue and raise their bag fees to $30 for the first check bag. I told you that I was pretty certain it was going to happen. I just didn't know when. It's a week later. It has not happened. American and Delta only charge $25 for the first check bag. I still expect that they're going to follow United and JetBlue, but I suppose nothing is certain in this industry. That means that if you want a deal and all the airlines are the same price, maybe you choose American and Delta right now because it's less money to check a bag.
Yeah, I mean, that's could be quite an option. I know you talked to JetBlue CEO on their rationale for the higher bag fees. What did he tell you?
I did. I spoke with JetBlue CEO last week at a conference in London. He was upset about something that I wrote because I was a little bit critical of them for being first to raise their fees. And he said, look, you know, fuel prices are up 33% year over year. We have higher costs. It's very hard to raise fares all at once by 33%. We have to do all we can. So that means maybe we raise fares a little bit and we charge more for bag fees. He did point out one thing to me, which is that people who commit to buying a bag in advance on JetBlue.com still pay $25. So this added $5 fee is just for people who make the decision to check bags at the airport. So if you're smart and you plan in advance, maybe JetBlue isn't such a bad bargain.
I know your story at Skift.com talks about other possible options for revenue for JetBlue. Could they have found other ways to make this revenue that they're doing with the bag fees?
Well, JetBlue has a few things that it does to differentiate itself. So one of the things that it does is it offers free Wi-Fi, which is a wonderful perk if you fly them, but it's something that every other airline charges for. So I said, you know, why didn't you just say charge for Wi-Fi and you could charge $20 per segment and you could make up the money that way? And he said, we like having free Wi-Fi. We think people pick us because we have it. And we didn't want to get rid of it. It just made more money. It made more sense for them to add higher bag fees.
One of the other stories you've written is about Emirates Airlines. You've been talking to the Emirates CEO as well about resuming some of the flights in the United States that went away.
Yeah, Emirates still has a pretty big presence in the United States, but in the last couple of years, they've cut back some flights. It's hard to be a Gulf carrier in the United States right now. The Trump travel ban certainly hit Emirates and some other airlines. Another thing that hurt Emirates was the brief laptop ban. I think it was last year where people couldn't bring their laptops in the cabin on certain airlines. They had to check them, and nobody wanted to do that, so Emirates lost business. So now the question is, you know, things are a little bit better. The travel ban has changed. There's no laptop ban anymore. Is it time for Emirates to add more capacity into the United States? I think Emirates probably will. One place it might look is adding back a second flight per day in some of these markets. So I live in Los Angeles. We used to have two flights a day. Now we only have one flight. Another option for Emirates, they told me, was to go into some cities that maybe haven't supported long-haul service in the past. So could they go to a city like Detroit, which is a little bit smaller than some of the markets that they fly into? Hard to know, but Tim Clark, Emirates president, teased in his interview to me that we're looking at new cities in the United States. He sort of joked that he wasn't going to tell me what they were because he didn't want Emirates detractors to go to Washington and start complaining right away. So he was going to keep them close to the vest.
One of the things that they have to deal with, according to your story, is some of the aircraft they fly is pretty big, and getting it into smaller airports might be a problem.
Yeah, it's not just getting it into the small airports. It's also Emirates flies a lot of Airbus A380s with the double deckers. And those planes have more than 500 seats, and for a lot of U.S. cities, you just don't need, as what we would say in the industry, that much lift, so that many seats. There are definitely markets in the United States that might make sense when you have a 787 with 230 seats that just don't work day in and day out if you have to fill 500 or more seats. Emirates in the future, I think they're going to make a shift to some slightly smaller aircraft. Maybe after the 2020 time period, and that will give them more flexibility with regard to what U.S. routes it can fly.
For folks who have not been on an Emirates flight, what do they have to look forward to?
You know, it's funny, Steve. I have never flown them, so all I know about is their marketing literature. But they are supposed to be an excellent airline, very comfortable in economy class, big TV screens, free drinks, things like that. Decent food. They say they're better than the U.S. airlines. I don't know that they actually are, but they use that to their advantage.
Have they given you some sort of a time frame where they might make a decision on this?
As far as new U.S. markets?
Yes, yeah, or resuming some of these full markets.
They didn't tell me exactly when they might resume some of the U.S. markets. I suspect it could be relatively soon to the big cities. I do think it'll be several years before Emirates looks at what we would call second and third tier U.S. cities. No offense to the people who live in those cities, but they're just not as big as places like Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, and they're not as obvious for foreign carriers.
All right, Brian, good conversation. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers, who's aviation business editor for Skift, skift.com, and at Skift on Twitter. Make sure you also sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report delivered to your inbox, skift.com/airline, and follow Brian on Twitter @BrianSummers.